you're called by God to do this, but on the other side, you're called to take care of your family. He's never going to call you to reach so high for Him, but your family's left behind.
Welcome to Christian Life Center of Hammond, Indiana. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Sam Hamstra. For more information about this podcast and other resources, like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. Let's listen in on today's sermon entitled, Rest for the Weary.
CLC Hammond, we're thrilled that you're here today. And my wife, Taylor, and I are your pastors here. And thank you. And thank you for joining us. And so let me give you guys a real quick overview of the month of December. So we're kicking off a new three-part teaching series today called Family Christmas. And I'm going to explain that in 1 minute. And then on December 24th, Christmas Eve morning at 9 a.m. and 11, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year, we are having our biggest Christmas production to date. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's called Festival of Lights. And that's at 9 a.m. and 11. And then on New Year's Eve, we'll have two services as well, 9 a.m. and 11 that morning. And so I encourage you guys, we're going to have a great month ahead. So let me tell you briefly what this Family Christmas series is all about. By show of hands, how many of you would say today that you want your home and your family to be blessed? You want the favor of God on your life, amen? And here's the thing, you know, I think all of our hands shot up, but the reality is in a lot of our homes and a lot of our families today, the word that's used to describe our families is not blessed, but rather it's stressed. And so I think a lot of times when you look at today's family unit, what we see a lot of is a lot of marital tension. We see the strain of raising kids alone, single moms. I don't know how you do it, but we're thankful for you. We can see the pressure of living paycheck to paycheck, especially during Christmas season. You can see the pressure of trying to manage a career with also trying to honor your home and your time at home. You can see the tension of trying to balance your kids' schedule. How many of you guys have a hard time carting your kids around everywhere with prioritizing what's important? You guys are like free Uber drivers, right? It's like, yeah. And so this is especially true, I believe, during the Christmas season, where if we're not careful, we get so stretched thin that we actually end up missing the joy of Jesus in the season. And so what we want to do is really focus on Jesus Christ. And so over the next 3 weeks, what my focus is pretty basic. I want to create a foundation and show you a foundation of some principles that you find in Christ-centered homes. Now, here's the thing. I just don't want a Christian home. I want a Christ-centered home. And why I'm saying that, in today's society, you could say you're a Christian, but really what that means to you is you have a cross on your wall and you say grace before a meal. But what I'm talking about is a Christianity that goes deeper than grace before a meal. In a Christ-centered home, we go deeper than legalistic Christianity. We're following Jesus as a bunch of do's and don'ts and kens and cannots, where we're just teaching our kids don't drink and don't chew and don't follow the girls who do and boys who do, right? What I'm talking about is a changing relationship, a transformational relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should be at the foundation of a Christ-centered home. A Christ-centered home goes further than lukewarm Christianity. Has anybody ever met a lukewarm Christian? And what I mean by that is that you're a Christian really in name only, but all you do at your home is pray over your meal, bless this food, and that's the only thing that makes you different. But how many of you know our homes are supposed to be places where we're training and showing our kids the power of God? So what we're going to talk about is some foundations to building Christ-centered homes. Our goal that I want to show you over the next 3 weeks is Christ-centered homes are homes where we view Christ as loving, where we view Him as approachable. You know, also often we grow up in places where God is so lofty on the throne, we can't touch Him. But how many of you guys know we serve a God who can be touched? And He's involved in every aspect of our lives. He's a God who cares, whose thoughts about you outweigh the sands on the seashore. Glory to God. And so today what I want to start this Family Christmas series by looking at is one of the greatest issues. This isn't going to be a long word, but it could be a convicting word. And what I believe is one of the biggest family issues we have in society today. And so if you could turn with me to Matthew 11 and 28. Matthew 11 and 28, if you have your Bible. If you don't, you can pull it up on your phone at Bible.com, BibleGateway.com. Otherwise, we'll get it up on the screen so you can follow along. And if you're taking notes today, this message is a bit more of a conversation. I actually changed what I was going to be speaking on Thursday night. I just felt so that this is a word for our house today. And so if you're taking notes, the title of today's message is simply this: Rest for the Weary. Rest for the Weary. And so if I could get some participation once again, I would love to see what I'm dealing with today. How many of you would say you would love to have a little more time for yourself or due to some things that you enjoy, by show of hands? How many of you would say, if I had more time in my day, that would be awesome? How many of you would say, I would love to spend more time with the people that I've been putting on hold for all too long? How many of you would say that you would like to have more quality time with God in relationship with Him? Now I think what we're seeing with all these hands growing up is actually showing one of the greatest issues we have in our society today. I think this is a specifically an American issue, and this isn't something that I'm going to surprise you guys by saying, but our schedules in life are crazy. From the time you wake up to the time you drop your kids off at school to the time you go to work to the time that you take the train home, many of you are leaving at 5 a.m. for your job and not getting home to 7 p.m. And then when you get home, you're having to cook a meal, do some dishes, put the kids to bed, and then wake up and do it all again the next day. And what we're seeing in society, I believe, is an issue where many people are very, very, very tired. Am I talking to anybody today? And now I think what we're seeing is that people, that you can talk to them, and the common response we're getting from a lot of people these days is, how you're doing? And what they're really meaning to say probably is, I am exhausted in life right now. And this is the position in the situation that Jesus comes to us in the Word of God today in Matthew 11 and 28, when Jesus says this: Come to me, all of you who are what? Weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus comes to us in the middle of our tired season, in the middle of being weary, and He simply says, hey, come to me, and I'll be the one who gives you rest. Now, the context of this is Jesus was speaking to a people who were used to religious customs that had to work their way in to right standing with God. He's speaking to religious crowds, and He's speaking to people who are weary of working and working and working in order to get into right standing and find rest with God. You guys remember the Old Testament pattern was, it was all about sacrifices and what you did in order to get rest. And here's the thing, the context is Jesus speaking to these people who are tired of this religion. And here's what He tells them. He's saying, for all of you who are weary of trying to follow the rules and get in right standing, for all of those who are weary of working and working and working, you know what? Instead of trying to do that, first come to me and I'll give you the rest you're looking for. What Jesus, if you really look at it, what He's saying is, a relationship with Him can give you what religion never can. And He's teaching them, you're used to working for grace. But what He's trying to show them is that because of what He was about to do at the cross, that we need to no longer work for grace, we work from a position of grace. That I don't need to work to get the unmerited favor of God, that the unmerited favor of God is on my life, and I work from that position rather than trying to earn everything I've gotten. I don't need to work for it because Christ already paid for it. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you what you've been searching for in all the wrong places. And He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And church, today, if we would just come to Jesus. And this is such a great lesson on rest for all of us. And this is what Jesus shows us about this principle of rest, is that rest is not a suggestion. Or at first He shows us that real rest is found only in Christ. That real rest is found only in Christ. And here's the thing. I believe one of the greatest errors is that we as people, we probably don't see this, but I think we try to find rest in all the wrong places. That when we're tired, what the common response is that you need to get a vacation. But in order to get a vacation, what do you have to do to get there? You have to work and work and work in order to go on vacation. But then by the time you get to go on vacation, by the time you unwound, you know what? You got to go back to work and do it all over again. Am I talking to anybody today? You know, you're tired, and you know what? You try to create some space on a Saturday, and so you veg out on 14 hours straight of the favorite Netflix show, right? You know, for some of us, we've fallen behind on This Is Us, and so we line up every single episode, and I'm more emotionally drained than when I started. I'm like, I lost my man card. Maybe you're like me, and my problem is that even I could be sitting on the couch doing nothing. I know that's bad grammar. Just get over it. I could be sitting there physically not moving, but that doesn't mean that I'm not mentally exhausting myself. That I could just be sitting on the couch and zoning out. I could have a TV on and everybody in front of me, but I can't stop thinking about what you think about me and what you've done to me and if you like me or not and what I have to do at work and how many things I have to do. And so you could actually be sitting there doing nothing at all and wearing yourself out emotionally. And maybe today what I want to suggest to you is that we've been finding rest in all the wrong places. You see, Jesus comes to us in this place and he reminds us of this. Come to me, all you who are what? Weary. Now, Jesus doesn't use the word tired. He uses the word weary. Now, I want to break this down because sometimes we get these things twisted, but being tired and being weary is two different things. Tired speaks to being physically tired. Now, I think we can all evaluate and identify why you might be physically tired. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that you've been going to bed late, you've been waking up early, and to offset your tiredness, what do? You drink a half pot of coffee, you eat a donut, you don't have time to make lunch, and so on your lunch break, you go get McDonald's for some fast food, and then you come back and you wonder why you're tired. I'm just preaching to myself right now. I don't know what you're going through. But being physically tired is different than being emotionally tired. And what Jesus is speaking to, he says, come all you who are what? Weary. And it's an interesting word. This word, it means that what he's talking about is being emotionally fatigued, emotionally discouraged. And it's really speaking more to the condition of your soul. And what I believe a lot of us aren't realizing in life that we're running around so much for so often that we're actually running around with our emotional soul, our very being close to empty and on the verge of burnout. Now, let me show you a couple signs that you might be close to burnout that you might not see because it's not as easy to detect. These are warning signs of weariness. Your passion fades for what used to drive you. In short, you just can't find your passion and excitement anymore. Your main emotion is numbness. You no longer feel what you used to feel anymore. Little things make you angrier than usual. Somebody says something to you and you snap. I know none of you are like this, but everybody drains you. Like, you could be around anybody and it's like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy. That's a sign of weariness. Another sign is you become cynical. You think everyone's out to get you. You don't trust anybody. That's a sign you need to spend some time with God. Another sign, nothing satisfies you. Nothing satisfies you. Sleep doesn't. Good people don't. Recreation, vacation, work, food, nothing satisfies you. Here's another one. You can't think straight. This is my biggest thing. When I get emotionally tired, I can't think straight. I'll say the same thing to Taylor 17 times. She looks at me like I'm crazy, like, you already told me that. But I know that's when I'm in a bad place that I need to get back my time with God. For some of us, self-medicating. That could be overeating, overworking. Overworking, impulsive spending during Christmas holiday season, social media scrolling, that you don't want to deal with the reality of where you're at, so you would rather look at somebody else's life so you don't need to deal with your problem. Now, these are all warning signs that your soul is weary, that you're heading for burnout. Now, if you're not careful, you can find weariness sneaks up on you easy, and here's why. Because I believe that we all find ourselves in a place where we're just trying to do the right thing, trying to get by, trying to live life. We're living this rat race of life. How many of you know today that bills are a real thing? I can't pay bills in kingdom points, right? I've tried. Like, will you take my stuff? You know, can I pay you in a hallelujah, right? I mean, bills are a real thing. I mean, these are my kid, you know, kids have needs. You know, your husband has needs, ladies. Your husband has needs. And so this rat race of life. Man, I feel an amen from that back corner. Hallelujah. So what ends up happening is we're just doing the best we know how to. Men, you know, we're created. It's in our DNA to provide for our families. It's what gives us meaning. And so we find our meaning a lot of times in providing for our families. And so what happens is we're working. And then what comes home, I believe one of the biggest tactics of the enemy is to steal your peace in your home front. Because the moment that you get home, what happens? You got three little rugrats running up to you like, Daddy! Right? And so excited. And then your wife comes to you with a stack of bills. And she's like, I thought you were going to take care of this. And it started off white. Now it's a disconnect notice. What's wrong with you? You know, and why aren't you listening to me? And meanwhile, man, we're just standing in the doorway. Taylor told me to tell you this is not her, by the way. I'm just standing here, right? And all I want to do is eat some hot food and sit on the couch for 15 minutes, right? I mean, that's all you want to do. And women, you know, I want to honor women in this place today. I don't know how you ladies do it, to be honest with you. You know, not only do a lot of you work, but, you know, I think it's actually harder to stay home than going to work sometimes. I stayed home for 4 days. I was ready to go back to work. I'm like, this is done. But you guys, you're working, and then you come home, and you're expected to clean the house, and a lot of you do laundry and do dishes, and then you got to keep track of the kids, and you're doing the kids' homework, and you ladies really are like your child's personal Uber driver. For real, though. You drive them everywhere, right? Every morning, every night, and your kids' schedules are crazy, and I want to honor you and say thank you today for all you do. You know, you guys are awesome. You're like superheroes. And I think a lot of times what we don't see with women is that, you know what, we have all these expectations, and meanwhile, you guys never complain like men do. Men are quick to complain, so I'm tired, I need a nap, right? But women, you guys keep on driving. You know, we don't understand the sacrifice a lot of times that you've been mommy and an aunt, your sister, your daughter, all these different things. And so I just want to say thank you to you guys, but also often in life, what happens is we find ourselves in positions that we never expected to be in, but because we're just living life and we find ourselves weary doing the things that we know to do. But Jesus speaks to that very condition today. How many are thankful for Jesus? This is what Jesus says to each and every one of us today that are sick and tired of the rat race of life. You're sick and tired of sleepwalking through life, wondering when your breakthrough is going to come. You're sick and tired of doing what you know to do. This is the place Jesus comes to you. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your soul. And this is what Jesus is saying is, would you stop what you're doing? Would you put that thing down? I got some things to tell you about yourself. And also often our response is, you know what, not yet. Can we be real today? You feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we say, not yet. I got to finish my job. Not yet. I'm going to come to you in a minute. Not yet. And a minute turns into an hour, and an hour turns into a week, and a week turns into a month, and we're running around not knowing what to do. And meanwhile, Jesus said, if you would just stop what you're doing, I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you how much I care for you. That you've been looking for rest in all the wrong places, but you would run into the shadow of my wings. Would find what you need. And here's the promise of Jesus. He says, come to me, what? All people. The invitation isn't just for white people. It's not just for black people. It's not for Hispanic people. It's not for people who got it all together. It's not for people who haven't sinned. It's for all people. And Jesus comes and says, hey, come to me with your email box still full. Come to me with your Facebook notifications going off like crazy. Come to me when you're behind in your work. Come to me when you're behind in your job. Come to me, I'm going to keep it real today, when the smell of alcohol is still on your breath. Come to me when your lips still smell like weed, and let me wash you clean. Come to me. All who are weary, and he'll give you rest. How many of you need some rest today? I'm telling you today that God is faithful to his word. And real rest is only found in him. Now here's the thing. Jesus tells us, come, all who are weary, and he'll give you rest. And today I was praying about this service, and I just believe that it's time for some of you to get your joy back. It's time for some of you to put the phone down and start spending time with your kids before it's too late. It's time for some of you to get your sleep back. Some of you, raise your hands. How many of you guys haven't had a good night's sleep in so long? I'm telling you, it's time for you to get your sleep back. I pray over you right now. Raise your hand. Let me pray over you right now. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the sweetest night's rest you've ever had. May angels visit your bedroom today. May you take a nap today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person with their hands lifted high. Father, I pray, Lord, as they rest in you, that you clear out every thought they have, everything that they've been stressing about, and God, give them rest for their very soul. God, I love you. I thank you that you're true to your word. Father, I pray for dreams, for revelation, oh God. Father, I thank you for impartation while they're sleeping, God. Father, I thank you that they wake up from tonight's sleep feeling better than they have in 35 years. In Jesus' name. So real rest is found only in relationship with Jesus. Now, I got a couple minutes left, so let me do some meddling. I might get in your business a little bit, okay? Is that okay with you guys? If not, I'm going to do it anyways. Now, here's the big thing. Rest is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. So most of us, when we get super busy, we feel like we can't rest. We can't take a day off. We can't afford to. So we work more to catch up. But God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? Rested. And so this idea of rest is so important that it actually made God's top 10 list. God had a top 10 list before Letterman. Everybody copies God. And we see this in 10 Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. If you guys want to go to Exodus chapter 28 through 11, this is what Exodus 28 and 11 says. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days. How many? You have how many? Six. 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord our God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. Now, family Christmas, check this out. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he what? Rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now we see here a day of rest is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And a lot of us, we don't keep the Ten Commandments. Hear me. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. We're saved by grace through Jesus. However, there are blessings and consequences if we don't follow God's commandments in our lives. For example, one of the Ten Commandments is do not murder. Will there be consequences if you murder? One of the consequences is do not commit adultery. Are there consequences to adultery? Yes. And if you don't observe the Sabbath, are there consequences just as much? Yes. And it's why I'm so passionate about this idea of a Sabbath day, because I believe if we don't get this right, your marriage is at stake. I believe if we don't get this right, your health is at stake. I believe if we don't get this right, that there's a lot of things that could happen if we don't observe a Sabbath. And here's the thing. This is almost like a badge of honor. In today's society, you guys have probably heard it in your workplace. I hope it hasn't come out of your mouth. But we almost brag about how much we work without taking a day off. Like, I've been working for 37 weeks straight. I'm like, what kind of moron are you? You got paid vacation time. Right? I mean, rest. And it's almost a badge of honor in today's society. And I'm going to be really honest with you guys today. God's been dealing with me on a very personal level about this. On this year, and this throughout the year, of the concept of taking rest and taking a Sabbath. And I believe, you know what, we can be good at preaching about big Christian sins, like things that other people shouldn't be doing. You know, don't live, don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't do this. But what about gluttony when half of us are overweight and we're stuffing our mouth? We don't talk about that stuff because we don't, you know, we have different levels of sin even though God doesn't. We don't like to talk about gossip, which can really tear apart the body of Christ. And I'll tell you one thing we don't talk about a lot. Is something called taking a day off and a Sabbath day. We just don't talk about it. And the church's default is, you know what, thank you for showing up and being so faithful. When what we should be telling you is thank you for being here, but you need to go home and spend some time with your husband. Because that's your first ministry. There is no ministry without your family ministry. So this is my confession. I believe confession is good for the soul, and I think some of you guys need to confess this as well. I confess this to my wife this week that I've been breaking the fourth commandment. I haven't been observing a day of rest. And I've been using the excuse, young people, we're blessed with a lot of young professionals here. I've been using the excuse as I'm young. I'm going to push while I have the energy. I'm going to run while I still can. I got a few points, you know, I got some things that I'm going to do. This is a season of momentum. Have you guys ever said that? You know, God is here. I got to press, right? And we're using all these excuses in our life. But the reality is if you don't sit yourself down, God will do it for you. And I found myself on a Saturday morning this year shivering in bed at the point of exhaustion because I was finding my energy in the wrong place. And here's the thing. What does this have to do with family? Let me explain all this. This year, it's been really cool. I've been praying and searching the Lord for years about really what the call of God is on my life, what the call of God is on Taylor's life. And God has spoken to us pretty clearly that I know that I'm supposed to go and help people reach their full potential for the kingdom. That's what I was created to do. You know, I'm compelled to do it. I want to go and I want to reach as much as I can. I want to do everything that God has called me to do. Does anybody say that too? Because here's the thing with you guys. You know, that's what I'm called to do. But the reality is I love our church because we have some gifted people in our church. We have people here who already have ministries, who have great career paths, who are serving God in the marketplace, who are doing things that nobody else can do. But here's the tension of it all, that you have a calling of God on your life. And the real question then becomes this. You're called by God to do this. But on the other side, you're called to take care of your family. So how do we balance what God has called us to with taking care of our first ministry, our family? But what I wanted to remind you of today is that God would never call you to serve that at the expense of your family. He's never going to call you to reach so high for him that your family's left behind. Let me tell you something real morbid today. You know, some of you guys might be happy, you know, I pray that you're not, but the reality is a lot of this. I could leave here and I could die today. Like I said, some of you guys are like, finally. Here's the thing, though. God showed me this so clearly. I could leave here today, right? And the same thing in your job. And what will happen is there'll be a funeral. People will be sad for a little bit. Marvella will cook some chicken, right? And have potato salad. I mean, everybody's going to eat. We'll go in the gym and have a good time. But after the dust settles, I'm telling you, after that's gone and the sadness in your life starts to disappear, what's going to happen is one of you will step up to do what I'm doing right now and you can do it just as well. What's going to happen is, and if nobody here can do it, what's going to happen is a job posting will go up on the internet and there's going to be thousands of applicants for your job that will fill your position within a day. You think you're so important at your job that nobody else can do it? Can I remind you today that your boss will fill where you sit in 14 hours the moment you tell him you quit? So here's the reality. This church will keep on going because it's not mine, it's his. But the seat that won't be filled is the seat at my dinner table. What people can't fill for me is the relationship I have with my son. See, everything can be taken away. But if we get this mixed up, we have nothing. And I want to tell you, you know, like, yeah, reach. Yeah, let's press. Yes, let's go. But we need to rest first. The biblical model is this. Rest well, work hard. Not work hard and then figure it out. It's rest well, work hard. And in life, can we be real today? We're so good at pressing. We're so good at posting. We're so good at liking. We're so good at going. We're so good at travel leagues. We're so good at getting our kids to soccer. We're so good at all of this. But are we good at resting in God? Are we good at honoring the Sabbath day? And I want to apologize to you guys. I hope we haven't done this here, but the reality is the church is just as bad as everybody else. That, you know what, we grew up thinking, you know what, just get here and grace will pay for it later. I've never written a check and asked God to cash it by his grace. Why would we act like the biblical principles don't apply in the house of God? Yes, press, but learn to rest first. So today, I want to apologize on behalf of the church. I want to apologize if I've ever, I was thinking about how I compliment people. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thanks for always being here. Yeah. Some of you need to go home and take a nap. I mean, like, it's the most godly thing you can do today is go home and take a nap. Take your wife on a date. I promise myself this because I've seen too many pastors do it. I'm not going to commit adultery with the bride of Christ. I don't know if you missed that. I'm not going to commit adultery with the bride of Christ. I've seen too many people in ministry cheat on God with his bride, the church. You know what? I'm telling you, I learned to rest well this season. And I want to press and I want to go, and I apologize if I've ever preached this before. You guys have heard the saying, you know, work like it depends on you and what? Pray like it depends on God. You guys ever hear that, right? I probably preached it before. I apologize because I started thinking about it. I don't want to work like it depends on me. You know, you guys know your problems, right? If I had to deal with all your problems, I'd be in the mental ward within 3 days. Right, in your job, you don't want to work like it depends on you because no man can give you what God can give you. We've been searching for rest in all the wrong places, and this rest is not a suggestion. It's a command from God to take a Sabbath day. I mean, how great is God that he's given us the gift of a Sabbath? It's a gift. Mark 6:27 says this. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." That the Lord created a day off for you. How great is our God? Now, some questions for Sabbath day. A couple of questions that commonly pop up in regards to Sabbath. Does it have to be a Sunday? If I work on Sunday, does it have to be on a Sunday? Now, a lot of people are going to get offended when I say this in a religious context, but I believe that the day of Sabbath is a biblical principle that was established from Genesis. That God said, you know what, I created the earth in 6 and I rested on the 7th. It's not about the day, it's about the principle more than it is the day. And so if it was about the day, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today because in my line of work, I work weekends. Right? And so the reality is that my day off is Friday. So a lot of people are like, I couldn't get a hold of you. And I said, I know. I did it on purpose because it's my Sabbath day. Right? I mean, just because you want to bug me doesn't mean it's an emergency. I'm sorry. Now, along with that, though, on a Sabbath day, the question is, well, what do you do on a Sabbath day? You know, do you just have to sit there? Because that doesn't sound like too relaxing to me. I would drive myself crazy. Here's the better question. What don't you do on a Sabbath day? And the answer is your ordinary work. It's right there in Scripture. And what that means in layman's terms is don't open your email. Don't respond to email. Don't plan. Don't write. Don't contact. Don't go out. That it's called, that you're called to take a day of rest to get away from that and actually enjoy time with your family. Enjoy time with meaningful relationships. Now, we always get in trouble when we take this to a religious context and make it all about the rule. Now, here's the thing. The Bible also says. Somebody say also. You know, anytime you hear somebody say, the Bible says. Well, the Bible also says. That, you know what? If one sheep is lost, what's going to happen? Jesus leaves the 99 to reach that one. So here's the thing. If your business is on fire, you don't have to call and answer the fireman, hey, this is my Sabbath day. I mean, like, go take care of the emergency. You know, don't blame me if your boss texts you on your day off today and you text him. I don't know if it will go well if you're having an emergency at your job and you tell him it's your Sabbath, right? There's things and exceptions. But it's a principle that needs to be followed. And so what do we do? Don't work and make it a pattern to take a Sabbath day, one a week, and work it into the rhythm of your life, a pattern into your life, into the fabric of our life. And this is for us and who? Our children. That's what Exodus 20 and 10 says. This is for your whole family. You know, when I read this, I was just like, this is so awesome. Like, we get a gift of a day off for our entire family, if you guys can work it out. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Now, let me meddle a little bit more, and I'll be done. Let me tell you, if you haven't been taking a day off, I'm saying this from experience, why you don't. You don't take a day off simply, probably because you don't trust God. You see, resting requires faith. You actually have to believe what God says. And taking a day off, a Sabbath day, is very similar to the principle of tithing, that God can do more with your 90 than you can do with your 100. Now, here's the principle with the Sabbath day. God can do more in 6 days than you can in 7. Meaning this, when you follow his rules, that when you take a day off, that I believe God provides for you supernaturally in ways that you couldn't do when you're working 7 days a week. That God will give you favor that you didn't have. That God will impart into you wisdom you didn't have. That God will actually show you designs and blueprints of how to do what he's called you to do when you follow his rules. And let me prove this to you. We actually see this. It's true. It's a principle. It's in the business world too. There's fast food restaurants. Okay, let me give you guys a quick stat. You're going to know what I'm talking about. But every single fast food restaurant, except for one, is open 7 days a week. And most of them, 365 days a year now. Okay, so here's the average. An average fast food location out of the bigger franchises. An average location does $1 million a year in sales. So $1 million a year per location, working 7 days a week, going as hard as they can. However, there's a company called Chick-fil-A. You guys might know it as Christian chicken. You guys might know it as a shout unto God, right? I mean, it's good chicken. How many of you are hungry right now? It's like, quit talking about chicken. Now check this out. Chick-fil-A is open 6 days a week. They're closed on Sundays, which statistically is one of the highest grossing days. So they break that rule of the world. And they also explicitly say, I mean, check it out. They say, we're closing on the seventh day so our employees can have a day of rest to worship with their families, which you know is a no-no for corporations to do, right? Now, their competition does $1 million per store. Chick-fil-A in 6 days, one day less, and breaking the rules, does $5 million a store. Now, how many of you know you honor God and the word says he'll honor you? Now, the principle is this. We think we need to work and work and work, but God says learn to rest well. Rest well, and then work hard. And that's my encouragement for our church today. What would it look like if we learned to rest well, church? Now the biggest question is, do you believe God is true to his word? So I want to close today with this, and this is the challenge. Some of you in here, you probably came in and you're like, you know, I'm hoping you're doing a heart check, and maybe you're like, you know what, I'm actually good on this. My soul's in a good place, and that's great. Your rhythm of life is good. I encourage you to see what's working in your life and to keep on doing it. What is that rhythm in your life that you've established that you can keep on going with? And for others of us today, maybe you are confronted with the reality that resting may be an issue for you and that maybe you've become a bit weary. So today my challenge is this. I want to challenge you to establish a rhythm of rest in your life. Now, rhythm is a strong, repeated pattern. And to me, this starts with an honest assessment of where you are with this principle of rest. So I have a family question for you this week. I want you to ask this question. How are you doing with the principle of rest?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. For more information about service times and other resources, like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram.